Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't you worry, child. B. Mitchell Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. As this Navy game is about to kick off, just wanted to shout out our boy Pete Medhurst. Thinking of you, bud.
Yep,
I'm sure you're watching the mids and fired up for it. Go midshipmen, all right? That's how we operate here. Go Navy. B, we got our captains for Sunday. The commanders like to announce the captains week after week after week.
Yes, we posted that.
Jaden Daniels, Nick Ballore, and Frankie Louvu. All well-deserving.
Yep.
I'm curious, B, what do you make of doing the captains week by week like they do it?
Cool.
Were you ever on a team that did that?
Yes. Like, most of the teams, early on, that's what they did. Every week, the captains were made based off of what you either did in the game before or that week of practice. What Andy Reid did, he would pick, three or two per group, offense, defense, special teams, and then he'll pick a person each group for the game, you know, the actual game. So, like myself, Troy Vincent, Deuce, Donovan, David Akers, and Hugh Douglas were the captains, and then they'll pick somebody else for that week.
Okay, that's cool. I think the captain stuff in pro football is a little overblown anyway. Like, you don't make it to that level. Dan Quinn had an awesome quote earlier this week when he was asked if he needs his veteran players to really zero in on this game and be leaders. He's like, no. At this point, the veterans can be leaders, but some of the rookies are leaders too. Like, Mikey Samerstil is a leader because he just has it naturally. And we're not asking anybody to be something they're not. We're not asking anybody to speak. Like, at this point, you got to let your team grow to a point where they can just go out and be themselves and try to kick somebody's ass.
Totally. And I think the ultimate thing is we sit here and we always want to say who the captains are. A lot of us on the outside. But you never know who is that motivator inside that locker room. We learned early about Mikey. You know, we see him drafted, and the players start letting us know about Mikey. Then you pay attention to him, and you say, oh, okay, I see what's going on. As I've said before, you don't have to be a certain age to be a captain. It just have to be who you are, you know. And a leader is a person that the people are, they're going to see somebody giving their all the time. They'll start to follow you. You know, that's how you become a leader, not because of what you say and what you think. It's about what you do on a consistent basis.
So, speaking of a consistent basis, we just got this quote from Michael Penix out of Atlanta. I really like Penix. I loved watching him play at Washington. I hope he's bad this week, but in general, that's a young man I'm rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to be nervous running out of that tunnel. But whenever I get on the field, it's a whole different mentality, a flip switch. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's how it should be. I was nervous at every football game I played, from the first one I played when I was a little league guy to the last one I played in the NFL. But once that ball is kicked off and you touch it, that nervousness goes.
Well, dude, it was one of the things I always applauded about Jaden is I just feel like Jaden was always honest, and he's like, yeah, man, I get nervous before every game. I get butterflies in my stomach. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that always stood out to me with Caleb. How he's like, nah, I haven't been nervous since eighth grade. And maybe that's real and that's just who he is. But, like, it's normal to kind of have some anxious moments before a big thing in your life.
Bro, Ali mentioned he had gotten nervous. Patti LaBelle says she got nervous. If those two people were nervous, why the hell would nobody else be? You can lie to yourself and say you're not. But you drop back and you throw that first incomplete pass, has something to do with a little nervousness. Or you sell a ball sometimes, something to do with nervousness. But it's okay. But the thing of it, we as a society make natural thoughts and natural feelings become something negative. If you're nervous, you're nervous. Cool.
Yeah.
And then it's over with. I told you this. Like I was nervous till I caught the first punt. They kick off the ball. I catch it. I may go to the house. But I'm still nervous I haven't caught the first punt because every punt is different. Kickoffs are all the same. You didn't much worry about that. But that damn punt would make you change your mind.
I bet, man. So going into this game, trying to do some predictions here, right? It sounds like Dan Quinn's starting to talk now over in Ashburn. He says Arrow is trending up for John Allen being able to play. Allen told me yesterday, I'm expecting to, but I'll be ready whenever I go. Mm-hmm. Like, Allen doesn't want to say, yo, let me play, but it sure seems like Allen's going to play.
He might not want to tell us that, but he probably told them that behind closed doors.
Right. It doesn't seem like Lattimore is going to play. And they're not going to give you an answer. Maybe it helps if you get a little bit more time that it's a Sunday night game. Lattimore and De'Ami Brown, to me, as hamstring guys for speed guys, it just seems a little tricky. But you get Allen back could really help. B, we just had Amelia Draper give us the weather for Sunday night, mm-hmm. and the weather sounds like it's going to suck. At what point is that a factor? I mean, hell, we saw it in the Bears game last night. It was raining pretty hard most of that game.
You know when the weather becomes a factor? When you playing in a bad weather and the other team playing in great weather. And that's not possible, right?
Right.
So it's not a fact. They're not going to make an excuse. You can't make an excuse. It's going to come to who adjusts the best and overcomes it.
Would you rather they be facing Kirk than Penix?
I'd rather them face whoever they're going to face, because if you're facing Kirk, he had more savvy, more experience, may still be able to do some things to you. You're playing Penix, who has a better arm, stronger arm, but he doesn't have all that experience. And I would hope that the experience of Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. comes out in their game plan against him.
I'm kind of with you. I think the way Kirk was playing was so bad, just that last six-week stretch or whatever. I mean, for him to turn the ball over like that and just not be able to hit open guys is very contrary to kind of what he does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it would have been cool if Washington got a crack at that. But I really like who Penix can be over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not terrified of a rookie quarterback making his first ever road start in the rain in primetime. Like, I like to think that the Washington defense can get to Penix early often. They've proven to have some ability of pressuring the quarterback, and I think it's the time to go get him.
Yeah. Listen, man, I've always been the mindset, if you're going to become the best, you have to beat everybody. So I don't care if it's Penix or anybody else. And I'm sure that's the way that team feels. But get out on the field, make him be what you want him to be.
That's up to Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn speaking to the media now in Ashburn.
Our field goal, let's go answer. I like how defensive responded after a turnover. Let's go get the ball back. And so I felt that connection strong. There's a lot of stuff that we're digging in on. And really when we came back after the bye, like, this is the start of the second half of things we want to improve. We're digging in hard. By no means are we where we want to be yet, but each week the emphasis for the game may be a little different, but our ability to level up and try to improve on some things, some of that's individually, you know, as a player's individual skill work. Some of it's as a collective unit. It might be, you know, trying to take the ball away defensively. I thought the tackling, you know, defensively really improved. Obviously, the run game's not where I'd love it to be yet offensively. So those are things that you just, you keep attacking and you keep going after, and it gives you some emphasis for the week as well.
And then I know obviously your guys' focus is going to be on the Falcons no matter what happens, but how curious
there's a guy that's come to a lot of press conferences right there.
How curious are you going to be to the result of the Panthers-Buccaneers game?
Going into it, honestly, I'm not getting into the what-if stuff. There's so many things for us to improve on and get after it with, so I don't have my head in the sand about things, but I also know, like, our emphasis has got to be on these areas that we want to really dig in and go for, and that's really the standard that I'm going for.
Hey, Coach, so what have you seen so far from Nick Ballore? I know he was a free agent signing kind of later in camp, so what have you seen?
Yeah, and I didn't know Nick prior to him. I've coached against him, but Larry had worked with him before, and he was the one knocking on my door, hey, how about this guy? You know, and so getting him here, he made an impact almost immediately, and I said he had a good blend of like humor and toughness. So he has the experience and can keep it loose, but he also has a real toughness and development side to him. If you'd see him and Reeves, you know, talk to Jordan McGee, you know, on the sideline, look for this is going to happen. Those are the types of players that what I called a glue guy that is behind the scenes really dominating in his role. And so that's why I wanted to, you know, recognize him today for this game, because he really has brought a lot into him. He can really run. I love our cover groups, kickoff especially. But he in all day, man, like he's down for it. And I love the support that he gives to the other guys too.
And Coach, you got the game ball or ate one of the game balls on Sunday.
I did. That was very unexpected. I'm usually the one that has to do the talking afterwards. So I got tongue tied. And I was certainly very appreciative of Adam and Terry to do that, because he said, oh, wait a minute. And I wasn't ready for that.
You spent a handful of years in Atlanta. Is that something you're thinking about this week? Is it something extra motivating?
No, I've done the work on that before. I had a chance to coach against him when I was an assistant in Dallas. So honestly, just a lot of gratitude for Arthur, you know, took a chance onto me, but you know, nothing past that. It's just, let's absolutely go battle for it. But, yeah, no, nothing other than, you know, the gratitude for Arthur and give me a shot at it.
And then just back to Jonathan Allen, a couple months after we thought season was lost,
yeah,
you might have a chance to play.
Too. Yeah.
Did, I mean, does that just say something maybe about the work that he put in to get himself back into playing shape after that? I mean, that's a serious injury.
Yes, and knowing that there would be markers that you have to hit along the way, and you guys know this, anytime there's a surgery, there's steps that you have to hit, you know, in a comeback. And so for him, boom, hit it. Wasn't even a question of it. And so you could tell, you know, the amount of work that he put in. That injury is a little bit frustrating because the first part is just the healing of it. You know, when you have a tendon injury, it's not, okay, start working it right away. There's a healing aspect. But then for him, just to immediately, all right, now we're pressing, boom, and all the conditioning and all that. So, yeah, with a lot of regard for him of the work that he and the medical staff put in together to give him this shot. This would have been the first marker window. And so would even hit that to go. But then going through the practice and readiness to do it, it's hard to say that he hadn't hit all the marks leading up to it. And so we're going to meet up tonight. But he's really done a good job, you know, preparing himself to be ready to go.
Take three more.
Has he maintained his size and strength?
Yes. I know. That's what was so unusual, because I would have thought, you know, it would change. But then you just said, man, that guy's built different.
Hey, Coach.
Hi.
I talked to the players yesterday about the emotions that they had to get up last week for a big divisional game against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the emotions of what that took. And then coming into a game like the Atlanta, knowing what's at stake and everything, you know, how to get up again for a game like that. What is the message from you this week as far as making sure that they're at that same level?
Good news, Don. I would say, man, this has been a season of close games and really tight ones to go. And so our team, we've got a lot more under the hood. And to say everybody's up at the same, you know, level, that's for every single game, that's hard. But the people they do lean on are right there in the room with them. And so they're the ones that kind of give the uplifting, you know, for one another. And knowing that you're going to go work as hard as you can for the guy right next to you, it carries a little extra weight. And you're not just doing it, you know, just for yourself to get ready, but it's for the guy next to you and doing that. And I do love that about our team, you know, the way they support one another and push it for one another. And but we have been in a lot of close games. They've been battle hardened. Having the late bye, all of those things mattered as we're getting into the second half. But we do try to stay true to our process. So like Monday was the time to clear it out, you know, and then we, you know, reset the whole thing. Go ahead. You want to follow up, Donna?
Yes. And what have you seen from the players this week? Because I was just talking to the defensive players and the offensive players, basically the line players. They said that December ball is one in the trenches of the game. What have you seen there this week?
You know, we have talked about that a lot. As December and January, as the calendar turns, you know, the importance of that on the big guys on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And so we've really made a big push on that over the last few weeks. And so we're not where I think we're going to be, but those are the things that you dig in a lot of practice. You make special periods and emphasis for that, and we've done that.
Do last two, John and Sam.
With the Falcons, the run game with Bijan, when we get outside, they seem to do a good job. The challenge for a linebacker to attack was the flow with that. How do you defend?
It takes a lot of trust because you really have to depend on your teammate doing his job of forcing it back inside. If you're uncertain, is he going to take care of the edge? So you're going to hear this term, setting the edge, because of their ability to bounce and cut back. And so if you get, you know, in between as a linebacker or a safety, those are the ones that they can make you pay. And their running backs are strong. They make good cuts. The line's, you know, experienced one to come back. So, you know, it's an important aspect of what we do.
Do you see benefits, physical or mental, in games or around the facility of having that late bye or being refresh maybe at a time, like later in the year when you wouldn't be able to rest?
Yeah, I would say coming back from it, you know, that you could see the team was, you know, like honestly just excited to be back together when we started our preparation for New Orleans. We're probably able to practice a little more full speed looks, you know, as the calendar has turned, because, you know, we've done a good job of, you know, being ready to do that. And so they're not long practices, but we're able to hit them at full speed. And I think that's an important piece to it, the timing, the accuracy of throwing, of catching, the routes. If you don't work at that skill full speed, those are things you could see decline. And so we try to make a big deal about working our fundamentals and our skills. If those can continue, even if just by a little bit, Sam, to improve and improve, then if you do that, collectively, everybody's skill gets better. And so we work really hard at that.
Good.
Good. All right. Sure.
Totally get. You're not thinking about anything other than your game.
B. Mitchell Finley, we are back. That was Dan Quinn, Commanders head coach, talking. Zero surprise that he is just super locked in on.
Oh, yeah. Ready to go.
I mean, that's just how that dude operates. Is all he's going to worry about is the Falcons game.
That's it.
And he's not incorrect for that. I understand there are other ways for them to get into the playoffs, but for the team, if I'm in charge, which I'm not, but if I was, it'd be all about Atlanta, and we're not worried about. I do almost wonder if Tampa wins or if Tampa loses earlier and they're in, what kind of impact that makes. That'd be a good problem to have. When we come back, our boy Mike Beasley, MGM National Harbor, joins the program. Shout out to Stevie. We love you, Stevie. Sorry we got our dates incorrect. We're working on it. Also, what's up with Wendy? I haven't seen Wendy all week. Wendy just taking the damn week off? Shout out to Wendy. Must be nice. Must be nice working in promotions, not in the salt mines, creating content or whatever the hell you say we do. I'm a disc jockey, Landfill. I think that's the term. Can we start calling me DJ JP? What you think about that, Jeffrey? Brian.
DJ all ears.
Brian, apparently we are disc jockeys. Ooh. You and I.
Okay,
B's in. another disc jockey, or some sort of jockey, our friend Mr. Mike Beasley, MGM National Harbor. Bees, how do you do, brother? Been too long.
Gentlemen, how are you today? I'm doing fantastic.
What up, man?
Fantastic. Can you hear me okay? I'm on my speaker in my car, so I just want to make sure you got me.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, we got you, Beast. Thank you, buddy. Dude, there's a lot for us to discuss.
What a wonderful holiday. I had one of the best turkeys I've ever had. Oh, yeah. I can't believe I made it so good. It's almost like B. Mitch made it.
So were you over there Christmas morning getting the turkey?
No, I was over there. I was over there on Christmas Day. I pestered his family on Christmas Day. I like to do when I pester someone, I like to do it professionally.
I say Christmas morning?
He wasn't there Christmas morning.
Christmas morning is Christmas Day.
But he came later on that day.
Okay.
Yeah, I came at like 2 o'clock.
He didn't come during the drink fest.
Oh, all right. Once things kind of slowed down a little. Got it.
Yeah, I took it easy, right?
Yeah.
So, Bees, I'm glad you had a nice holiday. I'm glad B cooked you a turkey. What have you made of this NFL season as we get down the stretch here? There are clearly some teams that have separated themselves.
Boy, they really have. You know, and I tell you, for some reason, I just can't get behind this Baltimore team, and they proved me wrong so much. Lamar Jackson is just everything that you get out of him by being the MVP of the last couple of years. I mean, he's just such a good ball player. I just think he's going to fall down one time, and he never does, and I get beat by him every single game. So congrats to the Raven fans. Congrats to him. He's a spectacular person out there on the football field. So good for him. Everything else, you know, was it a surprise where the Commanders are? Kind of, maybe. I mean, I think their schedule is still kind of a light schedule, but they still put up the numbers they needed to. You know, they get a break with the Chicago game. They catch kind of a break by when Jalen Hurts goes down, but it's still a good team, and I think this Jaden Daniels is by far for real, and I said this before. I was a Drake May guy. I was completely wrong. Well, I'm wrong, so that's okay. So congrats to Jaden Daniels. Congrats to the Commanders in general. So it's just a good ball club. I think it comes from the top. You know, the leadership, Ben, I think they've shown a different aspect of what these folks out here in this area haven't seen in years. I mean, I think the last time we had a little decent run was with John Gruden, and, you know, he's just a hard ass. So that's one reason I think he got a little bit had a little success, but not much. But all in all, I think it's a great season. Who's going to win it all? I don't know. I think a lot of people still want to see Detroit do it.
Hold on. I wanted to ask you something specifically, Bees. So
yeah, go ahead.
We have to me, I think the Ravens, the Chiefs, obviously, and the Bills have separated themselves in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chiefs, correct, because they got the one seed, they're 15-1, they're going to get the bye, all that's locked up. You're going to get, more than likely, unless one of them loses in a big-time upset, you're going to get Ravens-Bills in the divisional round, and I believe that'll be in Buffalo. Maybe that could still change, but as of now, it would be in Buffalo. What would that line be?
Well, it's got to be Buffalo minus probably 3.5, 4. 3.5, 4. I think your total is going to be about 47, contingent on weather. I do like playing these games, the early games in the playoffs on the unders. Always a big fan of the unders, especially when it comes to the playoffs. It seems like teams just really buckle down, or they have enough time to really – I can't make sense of it, right? You would think that they're always playing their hardest, always playing 100%. Your defense is always given everything they have, but somehow or another they seem to buckle down even that much more when it comes to the playoffs. And I can't put in, I can't understand it, I guess, is the main thing.
It's just playoffs come down to less mistakes. You know, you know that a mistake will cost you a game, and this time you're going home.
Yeah, but B. Mitch, you've been there. How is that separated from then, you know, I guess there's two
games and you kind
of have letdowns or...
I don't know if it's separated more than the fact that, you know what, you just, that's the time when you have certain guys talking about how much they study. All of a sudden, the guys that don't, are not the extra, putting in the extra time guys, they begin to do that in the playoffs. And you begin to see things get even closer. The success rate is a little tougher to go against somebody because everybody's on point then.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I get it. I wasn't really impressed with the last three games that we've seen in the NFL. I mean, you know, the 6-3, what a barn burner that was. Yay.
That was awful, dude. A lot of these games, the Christmas Day games were all just blowouts. Blowouts.
Yeah, and you wonder if that short timeline, it's just not enough time to prepare. If your team's not really doing good. I mean, Houston, I thought, needed the game. I got beat like a drum on Christmas Day.
You and I like the dogs, man.
I know. And the home dogs and the home dogs stunk. Steelers, I'm not impressed with now. I wasn't impressed with when they came down here and played the Commanders. I just not. I've never been a. I like Russell Wilson as a quarterback, but I just don't think he can ever get it done. And I think we've seen it. So it's just it was disappointing. I will say that you know I do like the fact that the Rams are on a four-game winner. There, I think they're kind of a nice underdog if you want to take them to win it all in the NFC. That's kind of one of the teams I'm looking at. I didn't want Seattle to win because I wanted to you know have Washington you know kind of clinch their berth, which I think if Seattle lost last night, I think Washington clinched it automatically. But so that's correct, right?
No, I think it's now Tampa. If Tampa loses, damn, oh, bees. Right. I just looked up at the television. Who'd you like, Navy versus Oklahoma?
Well, I'll tell you what I did do. That point spread opened up at plus 9.5 for Navy, went down to a pick'em game because Oklahoma is playing nothing but freshmen, wideouts. I mean, their whole team, I think they had like 28 to 29 guys on the roster.
Right.
Or something like that. But it was so I took Navy, and I guarantee it's going to be like 14-0 Oklahoma, if I'm guessing right.
Well, is that right now?
It's 14-0 Oklahoma. I took Navy, too.
I'm not even watching the game. I'm driving to work, and I'm thinking, I already know what's going to come out of this game. You know, that's just nothing good is going to come out of it.
You got to learn a bit against what you think, Bees.
Yeah, right now is a great time to fade Mike Bees. I had a good run there for a while, but she ain't running right now. I can tell you that.
Dude,
I feel like Fred Flintstone trying to run around in a car right now. That's how bad it is. Or kick. Beaten down. Let's go, Barney.
What do you talking with our friend Mike Beasley, MGM National Harbor? What do you like in the Commanders game Sunday night? Eagles game. I'm sorry, Falcons. Well, game.
I think the Commanders give it to him. My only fear is that if Brian Robinson or Bijan Robinson gets moving the ball, I don't want the ball control to get out of hand. If we can control the ball at all, I think the Commanders win by 14. I think they're a better team. I'm not really sold on Michael Penix yet. He is not as mobile as a quarterback as some of these other mobile quarterbacks that hurt us. I think what really is a test for the Commanders, and when you have a mobile quarterback and a very solid running back as a Hurts and who's the running back over there?
Saquon.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley, yeah. And when you get that combination, I just think it's tough because you got two guys that can really move around and kind of expand out the field a little bit. So I think if they can keep Penix in the box, and I think if they can control Bijan Robinson at the start of the game, I think they beat this team handily.
It's gonna be interesting to watch. I think how does Vegas, like in all your years working in the gaming business, all of a sudden this weather's starting to look pretty bad for Sunday night. A lot of rain, some wind. It's not that cold, but a lot of rain. We had Amelia Draper on from NBC4 earlier, just giving us unfortunately the bearer of bad news that the weather looks like junk for this game. How does Vegas?
Let me tell you.
How do you guys account for that?
So they have people that actually look into that very very deep into what the weather's going to be. They probably actually have someone that actually does nothing but follow the weather for all these different stadiums.
Really?
And they have to adjust correctly. Absolutely, they do. And when they've got guys that out there, especially nowadays with all the analytics that they use and the tools that they do, you know, there's some people that kind of rotate their lines themselves. Different books will do it. And I was talking to one of my guys that's over at Resorts World that works in the book over there. And they look at all the different lines, and then they also have their guys, their analytics team, go ahead and see what they look at. There's also, you know, and you go to different areas of different, and it's not as prevalent as it was before because everything's so mobile. But you used to be up, if you lived like in Nevada, Reno, and the 49ers, you could probably give them a 2 to 3 point push every time. They're going to be 2 to 3 points more favored because so many people are going to bet them because of the following their team. So, and that takes you back 20, 30 years. I think it's not as common now because you have to stay competitive because everyone's pretty wise on if you catch a number, and it's very important to get the right number. I mean, 3.5 and 4 was really a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
So you follow that. And the same thing when it comes to the weather. They have people that take a look at it. And I'll tell you why the weather is going to be bad is because I planned on going to my first Commanders game, and it looked like it was going to be 60 degrees, maybe 45 as a low. And once I committed to going to the game, now a storm is going to move in. So that's just that's part of my Christmas holiday.
So it's the bees' bad luck.
So you're coming to the game.
If everyone wants me not to go to the game, you got a chance for sunshine. If not, bring your umbrellas or your ponchos.
All right, so Bees is coming to the Commanders game.
Uh-oh.
What is your tailgate plan, sir?
I'm going with my other guy, my Vegas boy, Pete, and we will probably get out there. I want to say probably about 6:30, I'd say. Get there early for change. I love the fact that it's a night game, kind of follows suit to our gaming hours at the casino since we're 24/7.
Yeah.
And we'll get there probably 6:30, and we'll get after a little bit. So,
all right, we may have to come visit the. I assume, I am guessing you and Pete, what do we call it? His brother's the mob boss. So Pete's just one of the Vegas boys. I am assuming you two are not sitting in the nosebleeds where you're going to get rained on.
I doubt it.
Call that a hunch.
I can promise you one thing. As bad as I'm running right now, I will not be in the rain. So that's one thing I can promise you.
Okay.
That's only pure luck that I have. And it's amazing how I do so bad with bowl games. I do so bad with the big games. Yet I think I have a successful season when it comes to picking games. I mean, I looked at my record. We have this one contest I'm in where you rate your plays, and I think I'm like 38-26 or something like that. So it's not that I pick losers all the time, but it sure does feel like it over the last two or three days.
Right, well, give me some winners for the weekend, dude.
Well, you know, first of all, I can't believe that Syracuse. Here's another college game that went sideways, which is that Syracuse game.
Yeah.
That number opened up at 6.5, and now it's like 17.
It's 17.5. Right.
And you have Oklahoma 14-0. They'll probably give it to them. It might be 42-0 with a freshman. They got probably got cows and herds and stuff out there. Always been the kind of a Sooner fan anyhow. But when it comes to what do you want? What losers do you want? So I do like the Chargers. I do like the Chargers -4 against New England. I've always liked Justin Herbert. I always thought that was a quarterback we should have got instead of Haskins back then. But going from there, New Orleans, Las Vegas, what a boring game that's going to be. 6-3, 7-9-3. What are we looking at there?
Dude, it's not going to be good.
We got to. I just realized what time it is, Bees. I got to break. Your Raiders stink, buddy.
Thank you. they stunk when they came from Oakland, so you can't blame it all on us.
That's true.
But
I'm going to come find you guys on Sunday and say hello.
All right, man. Happy holidays, guys. Always a pleasure. And we will chat soon.
All right.
All right, Bees.
Take care, brother. Bees. Appreciate you, buddy.
See you guys.
It's our friend Mike Beasley, MGM National Harbor. Can't find many winners right now, but he's gotten very hot before. Let's hope the Commanders get hot with him in the building Sunday night. 1 o'clock, we open these phones. Turn down for what, Jeff? B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday, baby. Scotty's Vodka is Maryland-made, amazingly smooth, and loved throughout the DMV.
Yeah.
I meant to bring this up earlier. Yo, a little bit more than a month till we have that 106.7 The Fan versus 980 night at Tally Ho Theater. Is that what's it called this year? We had the big party last year at the Bethesda joint. This year we're doing it in Leesburg. That's going to be a fun-ass night. The last time was fun.
In Leesburg this time?
This time I think it's Leesburg.
I'm not reading.
It's in Tally Ho Theater, Leesburg, Virginia, January 31st. So it's not 980. It's us, Grant and Danny, and the Junks. Now, the last one was a home game for me. It was in Bethesda. It was like 5 minutes from my house. Leesburg is not 5 minutes from my house. 106.7 The Fan live. Thank you, Landfill. It'll be a fun night. Last year, we all kind of got after it, but that when I Irish exit in Bethesda, like I know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
When I Irish exit in Leesburg, I think I'm an hour away from home.
Good. Right? Now you can't do it.
Landfill, will you give me a ride home?
Hell no.
No. I will give you a ride to Roy Rogers.
I do love Roy Rogers.
There are two in Leesburg.
Yo, Leesburg is winning. They got two Roy Rogers?
They're opening up a third, like, real close.
Damn, they still have the Gold Rush chicken sandwich?
They certainly do.
I wouldn't kill for one of those right now, but I would maim for one of those right now. White Brian, I know we're new to this. We've just met recently. Would you give me a ride home from Leesburg?
Yeah.
Oh, bang! It's a Christmas miracle.
You're going to have to leave earlier than you want to leave.
Brian doesn't strike me as a dude that rages. Brian seems pretty buttoned up.
He's
the best dressed dude that's ever worked at a radio station. He dresses like an accountant.
He don't do that all the time. It's just today.
You see him dancing earlier?
He getting comfortable.
He'll have on a t-shirt by the end of next week.
I mean, that is by far the classiest outfit anyone's ever worn at a radio station. And not that it's particularly dressy, just everybody dresses like bums here.
I don't.
You dress well most of the time. You're the one
season. I dress well all the time.
Today, you're kind of chilling.
Yeah, but it's not bummy.
You're correct. Not
a flannel, homie.
I'm quasi-bummy today. I got a collar on, though.
Yeah.
Jeff, are you going to 106.7 The Fan Live?
Unfortunately, I'll be there.
Damn, why you say unfortunate?
Because an hour, that place is an hour and 30 minutes from my house.
Oh, isn't that?
Yes, it is.
Yo, you claim Greg's house is only an hour and 40 minutes.
I know where you live. Hey, bro. Google Maps, according to Google Maps right now, without no tolls from my house.
That's right now, because there's traffic out there right now. When you going down that night, there ain't going to be no damn traffic.
At night.
Yo, traffic's been chill this week.
There's always traffic in Virginia.
But not.
Bro, I have not traveled to Virginia.
The problem is,
right now from the office, it's 49 minutes.
From the office? I said from my house.
You don't live 40 minutes away from here, dude.
Bro, from my house, without no toll road or no express lanes.
You're trying to go the cheap route? And save the $6
you know,
or whatever?
No, you know why I never, like,
toll right there going that way now.
See, the thing is, I'd be cool driving through them. I'd be like, yeah, I'll just pay them when they come in the mail. But then I forget that they came in the mail. And then they double. And then triple.
There we go.
I just got Delaware off my back.
What you call them?
I have one now. But still. So I went 30 minutes away. I'll be there, though.
The thing is, you and everybody that live in Maryland and D.C. act like I never drive to y'all places.
B, you play in D.C. for how long? You're used to that drive.
No,
like, that is like a five-minute ride for you.
It's not an hour 30 minutes to your house from that place. I would like to go ride with you one day. We go do it.
Hold on, but let's ask.
I'm not going to ride all over the damn country now.
Hey, Professor Landini, you live not that far from Leesburg. You're in Sterling. Sterling to Leesburg, 20 minutes-ish, maybe 30. I don't know. Depends on traffic. Can everyone expect to see you get photos, sign autographs?
It's crazy, but, you know, I actually do have plans that night.
Really?
Yeah, wild.
With his bed.
What do you have going on that night?
A nap.
It's the craziest thing. This grocery store has this policy. That's the only night of the year that they let me buy vegetables. So I got to hit it up.
That's next level even for you, man.
It's wild. Okay.
Well,
I don't know why maybe they could change the policies, but it's all of them, too. It's every grocery store. Aldi, Lidl, Wegmans, Safeway, Giant, Food Lion, all of them.
That's crazy, dog.
Crazy.
Jeff, weirdly, if you recall, always comes up with free vegetables. All summer, Jeff's walking around with an eggplant hanging out of his pocket. Jeff, maybe you could get Lampville some vegetables, and then he could come to the party.
Yeah, we're going to get
Lampville some vegetables. Since you going and not going to the event, I'm going to buy vegetables with you that night.
Whoa, B Mitch is getting vegetables?
Yeah.
B, you're on the marquee, bro. I think you got to
really
show up.
I really don't care. I'm tired of being on the marquee when I don't get paid for it. I get on marquee when I get paid for it.
I am excited to go to Leesburg. And somebody sent me a note about like a cool bar we could go to before. I might try to keep my S together this night. I'm going to be honest with you. That's just far away from me. Although White Brian's saying he's going to give me a ride. Brian, the event starts at 7. I'd like to leave no later than 7:55.
We can make that happen.
Wait.
Oh, hold on. That's on a Friday, too. Hey, I might party out Leesburg.
No. You're not letting him mess up your night.
What do you think Brian wants to do?
You get your damn Uber home. We're going to hang out.
You're going to keep Brian out?
Yeah, Brian, you hanging out with us. We outside.
Yo, the two Brians on the loose in Leesburg, baby.
Hell yeah.
All right. So I need a new ride home. If you'd like to drive me home from Leesburg, Please feel free to call in. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Seriously, it is time for Ask Beamish Anything. Phone lines are open. Let's do it.